Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
What difference could it make if every child in Massachusetts got a small subsidized state savings account at birth? Potentially a lifetime's worth of change. They're called baby bonds, and joining us now, Shannon O'Brien. She's a former Massachusetts state treasurer and the chair of the current state treasurer's baby bonds task force. Shannon O'Brien, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you here. So I gave a little synopsis of baby bonds there, but maybe you can flesh that out a little bit more. What is it?
Well, sure. I think your last guest, Senator Warren, was a great tee-up to this. The fact is, since the late 1970s, early 1980s, we've seen an increasing wealth gap in the United States. In Massachusetts alone, the average net worth for a black family is $8, where it's in the hundreds of thousands for a white
$248,000, according to the report in 2015.
Exactly. And so it's looking at this issue of wealth gap because many studies have shown you think, you're just going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, go to college, get an education, and then you too can enjoy the benefits of the middle class.
But that's up there. We're talking about babies. So connect that down.
Well, we're talking about, again, just the bigger issue. And again, it's the issue of wealth gap. How do you create a tool that will allow for transformational wealth, or at least move in that direction? So baby bonds are a way to invest in generally babies living under the poverty level who will have an investment made on their behalf with the either state or federal government. There are different presentations that are being granted on both the national level and at the state level. And it is invested over time. And then with interest, it becomes a meaningful amount of money that can be used either to pay a down payment on a house, pay for a college education, subsidize vocational training.
And when you say little amounts of money, we're $500,000.
Well, the devil's in the details. And this is what we've seen. In Washington, D.C., they have seeded a program that, at least in its first iteration, will probably end up with approximately $15,000 to $20,000 per child. Connecticut has also done something like this. And in theory, they invest for every baby over a number of years, and then with
so
compounding interest, $11,000. Yeah, so it's a cumulative investment. Some have talked about Cory Booker's plan talks about as much as $60,000 that are given to young people when they turn 18.
So let's talk about Cory Booker's plan for just a second. And I'm going to bring that up because Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley has talked about that plan. Wait, I want to make sure I've got the right sound here. Wanted to pull up a particular set of sound. Let's just play the sound and then I'll tell you the context afterward. Go ahead.
We cannot level set to a pre-COVID unjust, inadequate, and insufficient normal. This is the sort of prescriptive, targeted, race-conscious policies that we need to be advancing at this period of reconstruction.
Okay, she was with Cory Booker. That is the 2021 American Opportunity Accounts Act. Senators Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey here in the state also co-sponsored it. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was scrambling to find that one and bring it to you is because you said at the beginning, lower-income children. We know that there is a pushback in the country around anything that seeks to preference communities that have experienced systemic racism, systemic oppression. So what about the pushback, for example, on affirmative action admissions at Harvard University, that this should be everyone or no one?
Well, I mean, I think that we've seen in the last 40-some-odd years that persons of color, that persons below the poverty level, that they have lost ground. After the Depression, World War II, we saw a great compression. We actually saw an equalization between the persons living at the very top level of our, wealth in our society and the bottom levels. And since the 1970s, that gulf has grown, whether it's tax policy. As a matter of fact, we just had a tax policy here in this country where we did not blush at handing hundreds of billions of dollars back to the top income earners because that would be important to our economy. This is an investment not only in children who don't have that intergenerational wealth that other families use that, whether they help them to pay for college or to start a business, that wealth is not there. It's creating that corpus of wealth that can transform someone's life and help them launch where they did not. I think of myself. My parents paid for my college education. You know, when I was starting a business, my family invested in me. Not everyone has that kind of wealth lying around. And that's what this does. It closes that gap by saying each child will have some ability to access some wealth that allows them investing in a business, paying for college tuition, paying for training, or paying to launch a business.
We're talking with former State Treasurer Shannon O'Brien about baby bonds. She's the chair of the state's Baby Bonds Task Force. One more question to you, and then I'm going to add a second voice to this. What about the argument, which often comes up when we talk about governments subsidizing individuals with cash transfers, benefits, et cetera. This is a private investment. We're talking about private savings. Fine, but don't use my tax dollars. Fine, private contributions, private voluntary contributions to fund this.
Pay me now or pay me later. You know, if we don't allow people to access the promise of America's economic bounty, you know, then those people, you know, end up, you know, living on benefits, you know, for a longer term. We end up paying more if we don't allow people to do this for themselves. And this is literally just a tool that allows someone to seek that economic benefit that we think is the promise of America. But again, I just point back to some of our tax policy. The reason that wealth gap has been exacerbated is because we have seen wages staggering. We have seen tax policy that has benefited generations of primarily, you know, white and middle class and upper class people. And these are the people who have been left behind. And so that's why it's an investment. It's not a handout. It's an investment not only in individuals, but it's also an investment in our economy and our social safety net.
Okay, Shannon O'Brien, stay with us. I'm going to add another voice here. Kofi Kenyatta is the director of policy and practice at Up Together. It's a nonprofit that researches cash transfer programs like baby bonds. Kofi, welcome to you as well.
Welcome. Good to be here.
And I just want to note, Up Together is formerly the Family Independence Initiative. And several years ago, more than a decade ago, I ran a foundation in Boston that made some contributions at that time to Family Independence Initiative. So just want to be transparent on that. Kofi, your reactions to what we've heard from former State Treasurer Shannon O'Brien here.
I absolutely agree with some of her comments. We have over 400 years of solid evidence that points to intentional policy decisions that have led to the wealth and income gaps that we see today. And so we reject any framing or quasi-analysis by some of the very beneficiaries of these racist and deficit-based policies in an attempt to put the onus on the individual. We know that poverty is a policy decision, and policy proposals such as baby bonds are a step in the right direction.
So Kofi Kenyatta, I'm going to play a little bit of sound for you here. This is Cambridge Mayor Sumbul Siddiqui here on Radio Boston in May. They are working on a program called Cambridge Rise that's giving direct cash payments to low-income households. And here's a little bit about use.
It's food. It's, you know, trying to get childcare so they can get maybe an advanced degree, a medical assistance degree. These are all stories that we're hearing. People are looking for more economic stability so that they can hopefully get some more economic mobility.
I'm aware that Up Together's work has advanced and researched around the importance of cash as a flexible way, that money is more flexible for problem solving. Is there research to back that up? And is this flexibility an important part of something like a baby bond versus you can only use it for college, let's say?
Absolutely. You know, one pillar of our strength-based approach is choice. And so we've had a presence in Boston since 2010, where our cohort members saw an increase of 27% in income increase, 187% in their savings growth, and nearly a third improved their credit. And so these outcomes are witnessed via our historic model, where we only invested $3,200 over 2 years, along with the community aspect of our approach, where individuals form groups and exchange ideas and resources. Up Together is a big proponent of cash plus community. We realize the value that community and our social networks have in achieving social and economic mobility for all.
So Shannon O'Brien, chair of the State Baby Bonds Task Force, you just heard Kofi Kenyatta talk about small amounts of money, $3,200, with some pretty big results over a couple of years. You were talking about much larger amounts of money. Is that necessary? Could this be done smaller?
We're talking two ends of the spectrum. One is direct cash that impacts the family and the child in the short term. This is a long-term investment, you know, literally, you know, a bond, like a savings bond that accrues over time that grows to a large enough amount that it can be seen as transformational. You know, you look at maybe a 3% down payment on a house. We're looking at, you know, the Connecticut program, which is about $11,000 that their initial program is targeting to give to, you know, babies who were born this past year and when they turn 18. 3% of a $400,000 house is around $11,000. So that could be transformational. That is where most people have their wealth, is in purchasing a home. And so that's what really baby bonds are for. It's less the sort of day-to-day, and this is not accessible by the parents. It is strictly for the child when they are born to create that longer-term opportunity at an inflection point when they're 18, where they're going to school, getting a job, you know, or trying to start a business.
So Kofi Kenyatta, let me come back to you at Up Together. A number of years ago, there was some criticism of that short-term model that people can slip back into poverty. They get short-term cash. It helps solve some short-term problems, but other things can lead one to slip back into poverty again. Is there something to be said for short-term plus long-term and the choice and control going to the child when they reach adulthood at 18 versus the resource for the parent?
Absolutely. And so it's important to note that income and wealth, which is what we're talking about with direct cash transfers and baby bonds, are both components towards upward economic mobility. And so, as Shannon mentioned, that direct cash transfers can be useful when we talk about basic needs to achieve their self-identified goals. But when we talk about baby bonds proposals, that is really when we talk about the wealth gap and really equipping children as well as their families in order to close the historic wealth gap that has been created by deficit-based and racist policies. And so we believe that we need both. So income assistance as well as wealth-generating opportunities that were denied for so many.
So Up Together, Director of Policy and Practice, Kofi Kenyatta, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So turning back to you, Shannon O'Brien, former Massachusetts State Treasurer, recommendations are due in November. In this conversation, I get the sense that the recommendations will be how, not if. Is that right?
Well, yes. And it's really looking at some of the models, whether it's, you know, Cory Booker or Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, what the state of Connecticut has done. California is looking at this. Washington, D.C. has actually done this and funded the first 4 years of the program for the first couple of cohorts. The fact is, it's trying to find out what we can do that is a best practice, but also that is doable. You know, we also know that, you know, here in Massachusetts, we've had significant surpluses in our budget. And then 2 weeks ago, you know, we found out that there is a 1987 law that may require the legislature to return almost $3 billion in, you know, overage of collected funds.
Yeah.
What will that funding be? How are we going to do that? We think that this is answerable. We think that this is doable, but the devil's in the details.
All right. 1986 law triggered in 1987. That's mm-hmm. Shannon O'Brien, former Massachusetts treasurer and chair now of the State Baby Bonds Task Force. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.